Society the Terror of Manuel Denon.
Good morning, Moira Ivor Abaisai. Today's share is titled Nevoah, Prophecy, A Matter of Faith or A Matter of Knowledge. It always intrigued me what plays more of a pivotal role in Judaism, Yetzias Mitzrayim or Matan Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we became a nation, but technically the definition of a Jew is not somebody whose ancestors came out of Mitzrayim, it's somebody whose ancestors were at Matan Torah. Right? That was the beginning of the Jewish nation. That's when Hashem revealed Himself to us, gave us the mitzvahs. We actually underwent a conversion process at Matan Torah. We went to the mikveh, there was a Dama Bris, and we became a nation at Matan Torah. So it always intrigued me, why does Yetzias Mitzrayim seem in the calendar to play more of a pivotal role? Pesach, even the most estranged Jew knows something about Pesach, has a Seder night. Pesach has got the two mitzvahs. Well, one mitzvah. One of the two mitzvahs is only two mitzvahs asays, only two positive commandments, that if a person does not fulfill that positive commandment, he is chayav kores, which is the most severe oinish. And that is Rabbi Isai, Korban Pesach and Mila. Those are the only two mitzvahs that if you don't do them, you get chorus. All the other chiyuvei chorus are for actually doing, transgressing something wrong. So from the fact that the Korban Pesach, eating chometz is a chiyuv chorus, eating chometz on Pesach is a chiyuv chorus, there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah, the Seder night is a central part of the Jewish calendar. Every day we have an obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, both in the day and at night. So many tens of mitzvahs are associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim. From all these, it would seem that Yetzias Mitzrayim plays a more pivotal role than Matan Torah. Matan Torah, we don't even have any on Shavuos when we celebrate Matan Torah. We don't have any special mitzvahs. It's just a Yom Tov. So what I would just like to share with you a couple of ideas, develop an idea what the role of Yetzias Mitzrayim is and what the role of Matan Torah is. And in order to embark on this journey, I would like to share with you a fascinating Rambam. This Rambam is a must for everybody. There should be handouts. If they're not enough, there's some more here. It's about, this Rambam is explaining to us the difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other Nevi'im. This Rambam is explaining to us why our religion, Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is a religion of knowledge rather than a religion of belief. This Rambam is in Perek Ches Yesod HaTorah, which is on your sheets in front of you, and we'll have a look at this Rambam and see some many fascinating insights. So says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu lo haeminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'oses she'oso. Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why we have a belief in Moshe Rabbeinu is not because of the signs that he performed. Somebody who believes in somebody because of the miracles or the signs that he does, yesh beliboy doifi, he has a nagging doubt. Doifi normally means a stain. That means you can have a beautiful garment, but there's something there, a mark. Something there that is distressing to the eye. A person who believes, who trusts in somebody because of the miracles, because of what he performs, is quite convinced, but not convinced enough. There's still a mark there. There's a doifit, there's a nagging doubt. She'efshar, she'yaseh ha'oit, ha'ois, belad v'kishuf. He could be just a great wizard. The person could have, he's endowed with powers of witchcraft, and that's how he performs his miracles. All the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he didn't do them. He didn't perform those miracles to prove forever, listen, I'm the one Hashem spoke to. No, he did it because what took place at that, the event, needed him to perform miracles at that time. Loila Havirai al Nevuah. It was not in order to bring proof that he is a Novi. Hayatorich Lashkiasa Mitzrim, Korai Sayam. He needed to drown the midstream, therefore he tore the sea, Vitilon Vesoicha, and he drowned them inside. Torkeinu Lamozin, he needed us to have food in the midbar. Harid Lanu Esaman, he gave us the man. Tzomu, they became thirsty, the Jewish people. Bokalai Mesaeven, he hit the rock and gave them water. Kofru by Adas Koirach. Adas Korach denied the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bala Isan Haaretz, the land, the earth swallowed them up. V'chein Shakol Ha'Isos, and so all the miracles, they were not to bring a proof for his prophecy. Prophecy means, let's just clarify what we mean by prophecy. Prophecy means God making direct contact with a human being and giving him instructions. So all those, the fact that he performed miracles does not prove he could have zero contact with God, but nevertheless be able to perform the miracles. Says the Rambam, so how do we know Moshe Rabbeinu is the true Novi? Uvema aminu boy, b'mamad har Sinai. It was Mamad Har Sinai that verified the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. She'ineinu ro'u v'lo izar. It was our eyes that saw and nobody else. Ve'ozneinu shomu v'lo acher. And it was our ears that heard. Ha'esh, the fire, v'akoilos, and the sounds, v'alapidim, and the torches. V'u niga shel ha'arofil. And Moshe went up to the clouds, which was resting on the mountain. V'akol medaber elov. And the heavenly voice was calling him, v'anu shoimim, and we were spectators. We were watching something in front of us happening. And he said to Moshe, lech emor lahem kach v'kach. Go and say to them this and that. What does that mean? This and that. V'chein hu oim eponim eponim diber Hashem imochem. Now there's, and another proof the Rambam brings is, the pasuk says, Hashem spoke with you face to face. That means you experience God revealing Himself to Moshe. Right. This pasuk, which the Rambam quotes, is actually if the simple understanding of the Rambam is that we heard Hashem saying to Moshe, go and tell them this and that. We heard them, go and tell them this, 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 this and that. So everybody asked, so what do you need Moshe Rabbeinu for? If we heard Hashem telling Moshe, go and tell him this mitzvah and this mitzvah and this mitzvah and this mitzvah, and we're hearing everything from God, so what do you need Moshe Rabbeinu already for? So the Baal Ikrim, Rav Yosef Elboy, who lived about 100 years after the Rambam, our Girsa, our version of the Rambam is not quite correct. He should say the following: Lech emor lahem, go and say to the Jewish people, Shuvu lachem la aleichem, you go back to your Matan Torah. The Matan Torah event has ceased. Is finished. But I want you to stay up in the mountain with me for 40 days. And I will speak to you as kol mitzvah, v'achukim, v'amishpotim, asher telamdem v'osu ba'aretz. This is a posuk in Devarim, Perek Hei, Psukim Chav Zayin to Chav Hei. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, tell the Jewish people they can go back now. They can go back to their houses. But you, I want you to stay with me, and I will command you all the mitzvahs, the whole Torah. So we heard those words from Hashem. We heard, I am going to tell you all the mitzvahs which you are to command Klal Yisrael. So this is, now we've, so we know that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu is now coming to tell us, we know it's from Hashem, because Hashem told him in front of us, I am going to inform you all the mitzvahs which you are to tell Klal Yisrael. So, just one second. So therefore, we didn't hear that, as you know, there were only two mitzvahs, even of the Aseres Hadibros, even of the Ten Commandments, there were only two that we understood. What were those? Anoichi v'lo yelecha. The rest, because Hashem said all the Aseres Hadibros in one go, which is impossible for the human being to fathom, we didn't even understand what Hashem... We needed Moshe to translate. Now how did we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not making it up? If we didn't understand, and however much of a linguist you are, you didn't know this new muddled up language, because Hashem told Moshe in front of us, I am going to tell you everything which you are to command Bnei Yisrael. Very important. So, Mimele, we now know whenever Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, he hasn't brought a proof. He doesn't need to bring a proof. We experience God speaking to him. This is my man. Anything which he tells you is from me. Very interesting. Did Moshe Rabbeinu have a Yetzer Hara? Rabbi Isai. Did Moshe Rabbeinu have a Yetzer Hara? Of course he was a human being. He had a Yetzer Hara. He hit the rock. He said he hit the rock. He complained to Hashem, why have you caused these people to suffer so much in Mitzrayim, right? A few times Chazal take him up, and even the Torah says, "Lian la'imantibi." This is an amazing thing. Can you imagine the founder of a religion? The Torah writes, what does the Torah say about the founder of the religion? He is not a believer. That's unbelievable. Can you imagine anybody saying that about their religion? Okay, but still, to use that, that means there is a chisorin in it. You cause a lack of belief in Klal Yisrael, so that's true. But still, to use that phraseology with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu is rather astounding. All the other religion put their leaders on a pinnacle. They can do no wrong, and yet here the Torah is not worried to say, not only to pinpoint the wrongdoings of our leaders, but even to speak about our leaders in such a dangerous way about there's a lack of belief here.
Why does the Rambam need to bring the Mamad Har Sinai when he's already proven himself with everything that he's done in Mitzrayim that he was a Novi of Hashem?
Let's continue. Let's go slowly. Right? So now, just by the way, I just thought of a fascinating insight. This posuk, which the Rambam is quoting, yeah, which the Rav Yosef Elbow says this is a posuk. So kach vekach, going back to the wording of the Rambam, kach vekach, it shouldn't say kach vekach. Let's go back to that posuk. On the ninth line, I think, Lech emor lahem, not kach vekach, vechule vechule, etc., etc. There's no vechule vechule. Lech emor lahem, shuvu lahem. Tell them to return to their tents, la aleichem, ve'ata poi amoydimadi. And I want you to stay out with me, and I'll tell you the whole mitzvah. What do we learn? Does anybody remember? What do we learn from the word? Shuvu lachem la aleichem. Shuvu lachem la aleichem. That they're allowed to return to the tents. They can go back to their wives, right? They were not allowed to be together with their wives, as you know, 3 days before Matan Torah. This was when Hashem gave them. You can tell them they can go back to the tents and they can consummate their marriage. Yeah, but Moshe not. Moshe ata poyam elide imadi imi b'michitzosi. I want to be here. I just thought, beautiful, according to this, according to what Rambam is telling us, this is a revelation, this is a new type of nevuah that we have never experienced before, and we will never experience again. That means we saw God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. That means this Novi, Moshe Rabbeinu, is head and shoulders above anybody else. We did not see Hashem speaking to Avraham Avinu. We did not see Hashem speaking to Noach when he tells him about Eva Minachai. We did not see Hashem speaking to Yaakov Avinu telling him about Gid Anoshe. We didn't see that. We just had to Believe. How did we believe? We'll get back. We'll get to that in a second. But Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't need to believe anything. We just saw. God said, "This is my man." Right? Therefore, this is a new type of Navi. That's why this is the right place to put here, that everybody else can go back to their wives. But Moshe Rabbeinu is different. I, Avram, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the biggest Nevi'im, they lived with their wives, but Moshe Rabbeinu is different. I can speak to him at any time, and his level of nevuah is great. Not only his hasaga, his concept, his connection, the way Hashem communicates with him is through aspaklaria meira, through a clear glass, but his nevuah, our knowledge of him as a Navi, is completely different to other Navi. That's why one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, Rabbi Isai, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, I think Ikar number 7 is nevuah. We have to believe in the concept of prophecy. That means man. What? God speaking to man? No such thing. Ooh, that's one of the fundamental tenets of Yiddishkeit. That's number 7. Number 8 is what? Moshe Rabbeinu is the father to all Nevi'im. And everything which he told us in the Torah is true. Why is there a different Ikar? I believe in Nevuah, and now a new Ikar, a new tenet, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevuah of the Torah. Why does that have to be a new Ikar? Not only that, the Rambam says, Hu an av le Nevi'im habayim achrov. He's a father in Nevuah to those who come after him. V'lakoyd mim lefonov. Moshe Rabbeinu was a father to the Nevi'im before him. Who were the Nevi'im before him? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Noach. How can you be a father to the people who precede you? How can you possibly be a father to the ones who bore me? Yeah, the answer is beautiful. Because how did I know Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Nevi'im? How do I know with absolute certainty? And that means Emuna She'ein Badoifi. I have no nagging doubt that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Noach, and Odom Arishon, how do I know that's all true? I know it with certainty from Matan Torah. Why is Matan Torah better? Because I'm not using any deduction. I'm not saying, do this and this, and this will prove that you are genuine. No, I just simply experienced. I saw God speaking to him. Yeah? If I saw something, yeah, I don't need any proof. Seeing is believing. That's why, now, the Rambam says, this is a fascinating Rambam in Chulin, and we'll get back to the point raised about Yetzias Mitzrayim in a second. The Rambam in the Mishnah in Chulin, there's an issue of Gid Anoshe, which is the sinew which is on the left upper leg of an animal. Then there's issue of Gid Anoshe. Who was given this issue? Who was the first person to give this command, this tivui, not to eat the Gid Anoshe? And Bnei Yisrael should not eat the Gid Anoshe.
Through Yaakov.
Yaakov Avinu, right? When he fought the Malach. Yeah? So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah in the 7th perek of Chulin. Does the issue of Gid Anoshe apply to kosher animals only, or even to non-kosher animals? So what does the Olam think? Does it apply, the issue of Gid Anoshe, to kosher animals or even to non-kosher animals? You'll tell me if it applies to non-kosher animal, well, it's anyway forbidden to eat because it's a non-kosher animal. There are two. Just a second. Hold on. So there's two nafkaminas. First of all, lashes. As you know, for every lav you transgress, you get 39 lashes. You can get two sets of lashes for one issel. So, hold on. We've had that. This comment asked. So number one, you can get two lashes. Number two, there is a man, Omar. There is an opinion that holds ain begidim benois in tam. Yeah? A gid doesn't have a taste, and therefore technically should not be osur. Even though it tastes of wood, yeah, it doesn't have a taste, and really should not come under the category of food. Nevertheless, Gidanosh is definitely also to eat, because the Torah says it's also to eat. But if it doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal, then mitzad eating the meat of a non-kosher animal, and begidin benosin tam, that means it's like a piece of wood, so therefore it's not considered food. And now you tell me the iso gidanosh doesn't apply. Right? So we have a machlokes, right, between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, whether the issue of Gid and Osher applies to non-kosher animals, right? Rabbi Isai, we just got to cover the ground, and hopefully I will, there will be clarification. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says it doesn't apply. Chachamim say it only applies to kosher animals, right? Because the Torah is not going to speak about non-kosher animals, because non-kosher animals are anyway also. That's what Chachamim say. Rabbi Yehuda says, excuse me, when was the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe given, Rabbi Isai? Rabbi Isai, can I just... it was given to Yaakov, right? It was given to Yaakov Avinu. Were Yaakov Avinu and his children allowed to eat non-kosher meat? Certainly, right? Even if you hold the children of Yaakov, and Yaakov, they kept the mitzvahs, but they definitely did not have to. It was only at Matan Torah that the performance of the mitzvahs, keeping of the mitzvahs, was binding and not matter of choice. So, were Bnei Yaakov allowed to eat non-kosher meat? Yes, they certainly were. So the Gid Anoshe, yeah, was given to Bnei Yaakov, and therefore should apply equally to non-kosher animal and to kosher animals. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Came along Chachamim answered, no. Rabbi Yehuda, we don't agree with you. Why? So I'll read to you the Lashon of the Gemara, of the Mishnah. Sorry. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'alei mibnei Yaakov nesar gid anoshe, v'adayin bnei matmeim muteres lahem. The children of Yaakov were allowed to eat non-kosher animal. So therefore, when Hashem is coming to Yaakov and telling him, don't eat gid anoshe, is there any reason to confine that issue only to kosher animals? No, because bnei Yaakov were allowed to eat all animals, even non-kosher animals. Amar Uloi, they said to him, no. Misinai ne'emar, ela shenichtav bimkoimoi. Does that mean Misinai? So let's look at the translation of these words. Misinai Ne'emar. You know when this issue of Gid Anoshe was given? It was given at Har Sinai. Why is it written there in Parshas Vayishlach? Because that's when the story took place. So what's the answer? What the Chachamim answered? Hashem came along and spoke to Yaakov, and he told him there's an issue of Gid Anoshe. What did that issue entail? Did it entail kosher animals or even non-kosher animals, Rabbi Isai? Even non-kosher animals. So what are they answering? The mitzvah was given in Har Sinai. Well, it wasn't. It was given to Yaakov. Yeah? But it's recorded in Vayishlach because that's where the story took place. Listen to the Rambam. Listen to the amazing, amazing Rambam. Veda. Says the Rambam, this is a principle. This is a Rambam Pirush Mishnayos there in Perek Zayin. The last Mishnah of Perek Zayin in Chulin. Veda, you should know, says Rambam, she'ata tzorich ladas, she'kol ma she'anu nizharim imenu, every command which we're told, which we're told to refrain from, or oisim oisoi, or a positive command to do, hayoim, today, that means that which we perform today, that means the year after Matan Torah, einanu oisim oisoi, ela mipnei tzivoi Hashem alidei Moshe. We only do it because Hashem commanded us through Moshe. Loi mipnei she'Hashem tziva kach le'neviim shekadmu. Not because Hashem told the Neviim who preceded Moshe Rabbeinu, do this and that. Dugma, says the Rambam. I'll give you an example. Why do we know Avim Menachai? Avim Menachai was the Novi that was given the issue of Avim Menachai, a limb from a live animal, a limb which falls off, or meat from a live animal? Noach. Says the Rambam, we do not keep it because Noach was commanded. אין לנו אוכלים מעבר לחי. לא מפני שהשם אוסר על בני נוח עבר מן החי, אלא מפני שמוישה אוסר עלינו עבר מן החי במה שנצטווה. It's because מוישה רבנו at הר סיני was commanded to not eat עבר מן החי במה שנצטווה שישוער עבר מן החי אוסו. There was a metamorphosis in Matan Torah. Clean sheet. Nothing is binding till now. We are starting afresh. And this, the Rambam is telling us, both for the Jewish people and for non-Jewish people. Everything is new now. Therefore, if something is excluded from what Moshe Rabbeinu is told at Har Sinai, doesn't apply anymore. Yet something is included, then it does apply. Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai, you know that issue of Eved Min HaChai, which I told Noach? I want that to continue. So why do I keep it now? Because Hashem came and renewed the mitzvah at Matan Torah. V'chein, why do we do Bris Milah, Rabbi Isai? Who was commanded Bris Milah? Says, correct. But we don't keep it because of Avraham Avinu. We do not keep it because we keep it because Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai and said, you know that mitzvah of Bris Milah? Yeah? I want that to continue. I choose for that mitzvah to continue. So therefore, that is why we're keeping that mitzvah. Same with Eved Min HaChai. Let's return now to Eved Min HaChai. Till now, did Eved Min HaChai, until Matan Torah, did Eved Min HaChai apply to non-kosher animals as well? Yes, certainly did, because why not? But now, we're not keeping it because of that original thing. I am keeping it because Hashem appeared now to Moshe and says, you know that mitzvah of Eved Min HaChai, which I told your grandfather, I want you to continue keeping it. However, now we can say, let's think now. Would it apply to non-kosher animals as well? Well, now that we have the Torah, and the Torah forbids us eating non-kosher animal, then that renewal of the preceding prohibition, of the preceding issue, doesn't apply anymore. Because anyway, a non-kosher animal is not allowed to be eaten. And Rambam brings a proof from this. Rambam says, how many mitzvahs were we mekabel in Har Sinai? How many mitzvahs did we receive in Har Sinai? 613. What do you mean 613? There were already seven before that. There was Eved Min HaChai, there was don't murder, don't steal, which preceded Matan Torah. So why do you tell me 613 mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai? It's 606, not 613. There's seven mitzvahs, which is independent of Matan Torah. Says the Rambam, that's a proof for me, says the Rambam, that the reason, even those mitzvahs, the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach, we don't keep them because Bnei Noach or Avraham was commanded or Adam HaRishon was commanded not to steal or not to murder. We keep them because the Torah says that. Why? This goes beautiful. Because now that we have Matan Torah, and Matan Torah is not a matter of faith. Matan Torah is a matter of knowledge we experienced. Yeah, the big question is, how do you know that was a real experience? Okay, we're not going to go into that. But we experience God speaking to man. Apparently, yeah, therefore, that head and shoulders, that's much better than any other nevuah. That's why now we understand what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was a father to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yeah, because Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, we didn't experience Hashem speaking to him. He just had the qualities. He had the qualifications. He has what it takes. But certainty? We don't know for sure for certain. Well, some of them were given to Adam HaRishon, and the rest were given to Noach. And then there was a few couple extra ones, such as Bris Milah and Gidah Noshe, which were given, not for the Jewish people, for the descendants of Avraham, and Yaakov. Sorry? That's interesting. Pru Uvu is not one of the mitzvahs. It's only a mitzvah for Yid. Sorry? Not stealing, Eved Min HaChai, not stealing, avodah zara, eish es ish, married woman, the arayas, appointing the dinim. Right, says the Rambam. Rabbi said, let's get through this because there's a very. The Rambam says, Perek Melachim, Perek Ches Halacha Yudalef. The Rambam is speaking about a righteous Gentile. Listen to this Rambam, unbelievable. Perek Ches Halacha Yudalef. Any non-Jew, Gentile, who accepts the seven Noahide laws, now he doesn't just accept, so you know what, I accept. I believe, you know, I believe, and he will save you, right? He will save you from eternal damnation. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to accept it and then carry it out, right? He is from the righteous ones of the nations of the world. Although it says Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelak L'Olam Haba, all Israel has a portion in the world to come. That's automatic, unless you can lose your Chelak L'Olam Haba. But Israel is automatic got Chelak L'Olam Haba. A Gentile can also earn his Chelak L'Olam Haba by accepting the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, not just doing them because he wants to, and performing them. Vehu says the Rambam. There's one condition. Sheyekabel oisam v'yase oisam b'pnei sheziva b'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'toira v'hoidianu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shebnei Noach mikoidem nitztavu b'en. Unbelievable. The Rambam says that the Gentile will only be considered, will only earn the title Chasid HaOlam HaSoilam. He says, you know why I am keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? Because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that this is my plan of action. For the Jewish people, I want them to keep 613, and for the rest of the nation, seven Noahide laws. Then he can qualify, then he can get his passport, and he can get in. He can join the club. If he's a moral person, yeah, and he says, wow, this is a moral way of living. Believe monotheism makes sense. Not stealing makes sense. Not murdering makes sense. Sexual morality makes sense. Yeah, he wants to live a moral life. Ain't a ger toshav. He doesn't have the status of a ger toshav. Ger toshav, it's a non-Jew living in Israel that we have certain obligations to him. For instance, if he's poor, we need to feed him. We have obligations to him. He doesn't qualify as a ger toshav. The einoim chasidei umo yisraelim. He is not considered chasidei umo yisraelim, the righteous of the Gentiles. Elo mechachmen. But he's obviously a wise person. He's managed to work out of himself what the ideal moral way of life, the way God wants him to live. But he doesn't do it because God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. This is amazing. So Rambam is telling us, not only do we keep all the 613 mitzvahs because it says in the Torah, and not because of what happened to Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov and Noach and Odom. Even the nations of the world keep the mitzvahs. Why? Because it says it in the Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told, tell the nations of the world, they need to keep the seven Noahide laws. You want to know the history? You want to know where it comes from? You want to know the background? Okay, fine. I'll take it for a history lesson, and I'll tell you, well, this one actually happened to be commanded by Noach. This one came by, this one was by Adam. But the reason why you have to keep it now is only because of Matan Torah. Mr. Brody asked, what about Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Rambam says clearly, Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's emuna sheyesh v'doifi. That means all the miracles that Hashem performed for Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, if you're obstinate, if you're an action, you can say, you know what? He was just better at their own game. They were great magicians. They went to Hogwarts, you know, Hogwarts, right? They finally met their match, right? And he was just greater than them at their own game. Moshe Rabbeinu was superior to them. But it's no raya that Hashem appeared and he said, tomorrow, tell Paro that tomorrow there'll be a makas Sfaradeya. No proof. Yeah? No, the Rambam says, it doesn't say no proof. The Rambam says, chooses his words carefully. No absolute proof. That means if you are insistent, you know when something can tie up, you know, the likelihood of this happening by chance, you know that sometimes yourself is just ridiculous, but you can't convince somebody else. This is what the Rambam says. When I'm faced with certain difficulties, when I'm faced with somebody who's coming to deny the Torah, and he's standing and he's performing miracles in front of me, then I have to start weighing out, well, this is quite convincing, this guy. You know, he's walking, he doesn't even need to split the water to walk on it. Yeah, he just walks above the water. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu needs to split the water. This guy actually walks on the water. I start having doubts. And don't forget, what you see has much more of an effect than what you hear. So then you start having doubts. Oh, so let's put Yoshki on one side. Let's put Moshe Rabbeinu and let's start weighing up. We're fallible. We have emotions. We could start saying, oh, well, if I'm proving Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracle he does, this looks very, very convincing. So says Rabbeinu, you don't have to start that game, says the Rambam. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not believing him because of all the miracles he does. Rabbi said, what about Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdoi? Yeah, says the Rambam himself asked this question. We don't have time to go through it now. He brings a pasuk to bring to, for what he has said. And that is, I will come to you in the thick of the cloud. Once they see me revealing myself to you, then they'll believe in you eternally. The deduction is that until this very point, it would not be a muna olamis. It would not be a faith which will stand the test of time. Right? It means at the time, those people who went through Kriyas Yam Suf, they believed in Moshe. But it wouldn't stand the test of time. Perhaps, as you see, they wanted to know just a couple of weeks later when they didn't have food, when they were thirsty, they were saying, is Hashem still in our midst? Yeah? But at the time, they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. But it wasn't an emunah which will pass the test of time. Masha'enken, here, this will be an emunah which will pass the test of time. And the Rambam goes on to explain every Novi, when a Novi, to qualify to become a Novi, to qualify for that club, the reason why we have to listen to a Novi is not because he does a miracle. Look, Elisha was Mechaya Mesim, brought life to a dead person. That must mean that's a proof that he is a true Novi. I got to listen to him. No, the reason why we listen to a Novi is because Hashem told us in the Torah that if somebody comes and does a sign, yeah, that is the qualifications I need in order for you to have to listen to him. Just like the same Torah says, you need to listen to two witnesses. You can't have, the Beis Din can't say, you know, there's something about this I don't quite feel right. If you have two witnesses and they say something, they say, they testify about somebody, and you've done an interrogation, you've done all the legal process, and you can't catch them out, you have to act according to their testimony. So if they say Reuven killed Shimon, and you've got something in your heart that something's not quite right, but you can't prove it on paper, the Torah says, Api Shnai Eidim Yochum Dom. Now, could it be wrong? Could they be testifying falsely, Rabbi Isai? Yeah, but nevertheless, I have to do it because that's what the Torah wants me. Says the Rambam, that's exactly when you listen to a Novi, you're listening to the Novi, not because this Novi is any, it's because the Torah tells me to listen to a Novi. I'm afraid I'm only able to leave you with a question. I'm sorry, I hope this added some clarification. I can only leave you with a question, and that is, if all the miracles in Mitzrayim was Emunah, but it's not emunah which will stand the test of time, and Matan Torah is a completely new revelation. It's not about miracles. It's about revelation. It's about Hashem speaking to us. So what needs more, Rabbi Isai? Does Matan Torah need Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or does Yetzias Mitzrayim need Matan Torah? Yetzias Mitzrayim tells us the Rambam needs Matan Torah because I could rationalize, however ridiculous it is, I could rationalize away Yetzias Mitzrayim about it's not convincing argument for Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? It could be, he's just a way. But Matan Torah doesn't need anything because we experience God. So why does Yetzias Mitzrayim play such a pivotal role in our lives? Yeah? That is my question. Yeah? If once we have Matan Torah, why do we still go back? Just like the Rambam tells us that once we've got Matan Torah, we don't go back to Avraham Avinu. You know what? Avraham Avinu was told Mila, we do Mila as well. No! That's history. We do it because it says it in the Torah. It's the same here. Once we've got Matan Torah, why do we keep on reverting back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which by itself is not an absolute proof? The answer, which I'm not going to say now, is along the lines that we are not robots. We have feelings, we have emotions, we are complicated, we have the constraints of external factors. We don't just work with logic, yeah? Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we became born, we came out of our constraints. Yeah, we became a nation. That was because of our human part. That was a necessary part of our Geula and our becoming a nation. But Be'ezras Hashem, we'll deal with this next time. Thank you for listening. No, I think I'm going to hit it.